Of course, there's Palm Sunday today, there's the Lord's Supper on Thursday, there's Resurrection Sunday, and even on Monday, we're having a family gathering, a picnic here at the church, and game time, but we're also going to have a time around the Word together. And each one of these times, we're going to be taking a look at a perspective of someone in the Scriptures, of their perspective of the whole crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And so this morning we're looking at the perspective of Lazarus and Mary. And each time I want you to see a short video dramatization of them and what it must have been like to have been there. This is just soon after the resurrection of Lazarus, which we're going to take a closer look at this morning after the video. So it's a brief interaction between Lazarus and his sister Mary. So pay attention to this video, and thank you guys.
Triumphant horse for glory, but to be is power. He is glory. He is triumph.
He's a king. But one who actually loves people.
He is a king that will go into death to save us. To stand in front of us. To call us out of our very clothes. And to offer this life that only he can offer. That's what Jesus.
Thank you, Glenn. Lazarus and Mary, please turn over in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John, chapter number 11. We're looking at a resurrection that took place before Easter. The main characters of this story, of course, were Lazarus, his sisters, Mary and Martha, and of course, the main character of this story is Jesus himself. The story is really all about who is in control. Who is in control? Even when things seem the darkest, there is one who is in control. There is one that we can rely on and look to. And the thing is, people don't like feeling out of control. It scares them to feel that they aren't in control. I was reading recently of a place in Mexico, Cozumel, Mexico. Anybody been to Cozumel? Cozumel is a popular tourist destination. I haven't been there. But there's this place underground. It's called the Rio Secreto. Do you know what that means? Secret what? River. Yes, the secret river, the Rio Secreto. And tourists will pay big money to go down into this underground river system and be led by some very familiar guides with this area. And at one point in the tour, the guide will gather all the people together in one area, and then he will turn off his light. And it is so dark in there. They say you cannot see your hand in front of your face. It is so very dark, and it's very unsettling for the people. And they realize how helpless they are. They realize also how dependent they are upon this guide. If the guide would leave them there, they'd be lost down there forever. And they realize just how dependent they are upon this guide that is leading them, as well as his light that is shining the way. And as we prepare to read this account in John chapter 11, remember the scene that we just watched here. And at one point, Mary makes this statement. It was that moment, it was that exact moment that I realized that Jesus was everything I needed, but nothing that I expected. And so this morning, I ask you, has there been a moment in your life that you realized that Jesus was everything that you needed? As we go through this Easter time with these four different looks at people in this story, in the scriptures, each time they have this awakening, this light bulb moment, if you would, of who Jesus is. Have you come to that point in your life that you realize Jesus was everything that you needed? John chapter 11. We're going to work our way in this message through this chapter. So there's going to be a bit of reading, but the main part of the message is actually the scripture itself, the story. And so pay close attention, listen to the story. I'm going to start in verse number 1. Follow along with me. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, let us also go, that we may die with him." Let's pray. Lord, help us this morning to see from this perspective. Lord, draw our eyes to a greater faith and belief in who Jesus is. Lord, I pray that we would see afresh, and that, Lord, we would be willing to let Jesus be that guide, that we would lean on him and realize we need him above all else. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at 4 parts to the story. And as we go through the story, we're going to see a lot of if statements. We're going to see a lot of if statements. And so I'll point them out as we go. But the first part of this story is Jesus received word of Lazarus's sickness. Jesus received word of Lazarus' sickness. We learned that Lazarus was so sick that his sisters sent word to Jesus about his condition. They were concerned. They knew this was serious. And they would hope that Jesus would come right away, knowing that Jesus loved them and that he would heal their brother. As Jesus' popularity grew throughout the region, he not only stirred crowds with his amazing power that he had shown, but he also gained many critics and enemies that wanted to see an end to him. And this is why, with his disciples back across Jordan, when they received the news of Lazarus' illness, this is why they were concerned about him wanting to return. In verse 6, it says, "So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was." Jesus heard about his friend Lazarus and that he was sick, and his sisters were so concerned. The scripture doesn't give us a lot of information here, except that Jesus stayed a couple of more days. After this, he told the disciples his plan to go to Judea. They were hesitant, we saw. They said, "Lord, why do you want to go there? They just tried to stone you, and you want to go back?" They had good reasons. They had perhaps good intentions. They were looking not only after themselves, but after Jesus. But Jesus was the guide. He was in control, and he responded to their hesitations with our first 2 ifs. We see in verse number 9, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." The first if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. But the second one, if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles. There is no light. He's like in that Rio Secreta, the underground secret river with the light out. What he's basically saying here is if they followed him, they would be fine. Jesus is the one who's in control. If they follow him, it's like walking in the day. They're fine. But if not, they're on their own. If they decide to do things, their own plans, they were going to stumble in darkness. Follow Jesus. He's saying, follow me. Trust me. Verse 11. He follows up telling them about Lazarus. Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Pay attention to this next statement, if statement. Then his disciple said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. It's not that important. Let him sleep. But then Jesus plainly said in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. The disciples had not yet learned to be quiet and let Jesus be in control. They had not learned that Jesus is the light, that Jesus is the one who is the guide. They can just put their trust in what he says. They wanted to know what was going on. They wanted to kind of feel in control themselves. How about you? Have you ever wished that Jesus would tell you plainly what's going on in your life? Sometimes you don't know why things are happening the way they're happening. You don't have a full understanding of everything around you, and you want to know why. And maybe you pray, and God, why is this happening? God, take this away from me. And you want to be in control. You want to feel that there is some control in your life. I want you to be confident that Jesus does not play games when one comes to him in prayer, but he does want you to know that he is in control. He's the one in control. He wants us to know that above all. Trust him. Walk with him. Anyone who walks with him walks in the light. He doesn't stumble. You do things your own way, your own plans, you're gonna stumble in darkness. Perhaps Jesus hasn't answered your prayer the way you want. He has a different idea. In this story that we just read in John 11, Lazarus' sisters were hoping Jesus would come before he died. They wanted him to come right away, didn't they? That was their desire. That was their plan. Jesus didn't come according to their plan. Trust Jesus' timing. Trust him. There's a second part of the story, though. And that is Jesus comes to Bethany. He does come. Look at verse number 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb. How many days? 4 days. He finally got there. He stayed another 2 days. They began their journey. Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. 4 days. The body was assumed already to be decomposing after 4 days. There's a couple of more if statements that the sisters make. Verse number 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She had faith. She believed. She didn't understand what Jesus was saying at this time. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Verse 28. And when she had said these things, She went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, also have kept this man from dying?" Look at the two statements that were made by both Martha first and then Mary later. Verse 21, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Verse 32, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died," Mary also said. They couldn't yet see the other side of their "if" statements. How about you? When have you last had a "if" moment in your life? If I only just took that job instead of that job. If I only had bought that house. If I only checked my rearview mirror and not hit that guy. The list can go on and on about if. However big your "if" moments are, Jesus still loves you. Jesus is still the one in control. He's the one, he's the guide. He is the light. He's the one that we have to hang close to. And even though both Mary and Martha came and said, "Lord, if you had been here, if only you had been here, this wouldn't happen." I want you to see the compassion and love that Jesus showed those two at this time. He didn't even take the time to correct them and say, "Do you know who you are talking to? Why are you questioning me? Am I not the Lord? Am I not the King? Am I not the Creator? Am I not the giver of life? How dare you question me?" He could have. But in verse 23 to 27, Martha's conversation with Jesus about the resurrection is one of the most powerful passages here. Listen again to what Jesus says to Martha during one of the biggest "if" moments of her life. He says in verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? This is amazing. This is clear stuff. And Jesus comes to her with a very important question. And I believe everybody on this earth must answer this question as well. Jesus giving a self-declaration of who he is. "And if anyone believes in me, he will never die." The question is, do you believe this? She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. You are him. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the giver of life. You are the one who has came to save us." This is a woman choosing to move past her ifs and give Jesus full control of her life, her past, her present, her future. How about you? The question is asked of you now, and everyone in this place, everyone in this world must have an answer to this. Everyone is going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account of what they did with Jesus. Do you believe this? The third part of our story, Jesus shows who's in control. Look at verse number 38. 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died and came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." Lazarus came out. He was bound. He was bound in grave clothes. So he must have hopped out somehow. And Jesus says, "Loose him. Get rid of these grave clothes." Jesus' command, though, he says, "Take away the stone." It puts the sisters in a panic. I mean, they realize this was their brother. They loved him. But it's been 4 days. And he says, "Lord, no, don't do that. It's going to smell really bad. And we don't want that at this time. We're still grieving." And Jesus just had a conversation with her. And he had to remind her of that conversation in verse 40. When he says, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see my power?" Jesus doesn't lose patience with them. He doesn't lose patience with them. He doesn't lose patience with the ones that he loves. He's kind and compassionate, even with our insecurities at times that we deal with day by day. Jesus gives humble reminders that he's in control. He's in control. Trust him. Look to him. He won't leave us stranded with our doubts, surrounded by all our what ifs. We don't know much about how Lazarus and Jesus interacted after Jesus raised Lazarus from the darkness of the tomb. We don't hear much about that. What we do know is that Lazarus came out of the tomb. He had his grave clothes removed. And this miracle that Jesus once again showed his power over death, this miracle led to one final if worth mentioning. That leads to our fourth part of this story. The resurrection led to a plot to kill Jesus. Verse 53. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. After that, after the resurrection of Lazarus, in fact, we see in the next chapter, in chapter 12, we see not only are they plotting for sure, we have to put an end to Jesus now, but we have to put an end to this guy Lazarus. We have to put him to death. We have to kill him. He has to die again. They plotted to also put Lazarus to death again. They could not submit themselves to Jesus. They could not answer in the affirmative, "Do you believe that I am the life? If anyone believes in me, he will never die." They couldn't believe that. They would not believe. This was such a powerful thing. And when word got back to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they wondered what to do about it. But they had to do something. Verse number 48, we see them reasoning. They said, "If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place and nation." They were worried about their position, their lifestyles. They were worried about their authority. And they said, if we just leave him alone, people are going to believe him. Why wouldn't they? Look at what he has done. He has shown his power. And today, we must come to grips with who's in control of our life. Jesus has demonstrated his power over sin, over the grave, over death. And the question is still the same. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the light that has come into this world? Do you believe that anyone who believes in him will not die? Is this your faith? You must answer this question. Everyone must answer this question. The Pharisees answered it. And they said, if we leave him alone, people will believe in him. We got to put a stop to this. Mary and Martha answered the question, yes, Lord, I believe. They weren't perfect, and Jesus was patient and loving with them. But they answered, yes, Lord, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are that one who's come into the world to save us. Christian, you must come to grips, though, in your life, who's in control? Who's in control? What, no matter what lies ahead, no matter what ifs may lie ahead in your life, who's in control? Ask yourself some questions. If Jesus is really in control of my life, how does that affect my place in the world? If Jesus is really in control of my life, how does that affect what I say I believe? If Jesus is really in control of my life, how does that affect the past ifs that seem to haunt me? If Jesus is really in control of my life, how do I respond when I can't see the big picture? But I trust that Jesus does. He sees the big picture. And if Jesus is really in control of my life, how am I doing with following him so as not to stumble in darkness by trying to take control of my own life? Is Jesus really in control of your life? I invite you to stand with me at this time, please. Every head bowed and eye closed. We just reviewed a story that took place just prior to the triumphal entry when all the crowds were praising Jesus and saying, Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus again demonstrates his authority and his power over death. He was in control. And sometimes in life, we try to take back control again. We like to feel that we have control of our lives. Jesus wants you to look to him, just like in those caves in that place in Mexico where the guide will turn off the light. The people have to put their trust in that guide, in the light that he has, to get them out of there. And sometimes our life seems to be dark. We go through dark times. You need to put your trust in Jesus, that he is in control. Mary and Martha, they wanted to feel some control. They wanted Jesus to come their way like they had planned, and he didn't. Jesus saw the bigger picture. The disciples were afraid of letting Jesus go back, and it didn't make sense to them. And then they finally says, fine, we'll go and we'll just die with you. We're all going to die. They needed to learn also to trust in Jesus, the guide. Trust, follow his light. Not stumble around in darkness as we try to take up control in our lives again. And that statement that Jesus made to Martha and Mary when he says, I am the light, and Anyone who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? The same question is given to you this morning. Do you believe this? He's saying. Do you believe that Jesus is the light of the world? Do you believe that anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus will never die but will have everlasting life? Is this your belief? This morning, Palm Sunday of 2016, can you affirm and say, yes, that is my belief. I believe Jesus is that Christ, the Messiah, and that anyone who believes in him will not die but have everlasting life. Raise your hand if that's your belief. Amen. Is there anyone here that couldn't raise your hand? In your heart, you're saying, man, I don't know. I've not answered that question. If there's anyone here who would say, Pastor Ken, I don't know. I'm concerned about this. I want to believe. I believe God's doing something in my heart right now. Will you pray for me? If that's you, Pastor Ken, pray for me. I want to know. I want to believe. I want to trust Jesus. I want to have that everlasting life. Would you raise your hand up where you are? Amen. Anyone else? Pray for me, Pastor Ken. This is what I want to. I want to have that everlasting life Jesus spoke of. Christian, visitors, in just a moment, I invite you, I ask you to come. Come and bring yourself to the Lord. Come in prayer. Present yourself to him. Thank him for what he has done and commit yourself to following him, trusting in him as your guide in life. Walk in the light and not stumble in the darkness anymore. Trust in Jesus, even when you can't see everything, when you feel that you don't have the control, put your faith in him. If there's any here who are struggling with their salvation and you want to put your faith in Jesus this morning, I invite you also to come. Come forward, take me by the hand, and we'll have someone show you what the Bible says about being born again, about putting your faith in Jesus. But I ask you to come. Father, your will be done. I pray that you would speak to the people in this place. Father, that your spirit would just bring about a change in conviction in hearts. And may we leave here, Lord, realizing that you are in control, that you are our guide, that we must walk with you in the light and not stumble in our own thinking in the darkness. Lord, as we open the invitation, I pray that you would move in the people in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and eye closed, I invite you to come. You need to come and spend some time with the Lord at this time. Come. If you would like to come and trust Jesus today, I invite you to come. Come at this time. Come at this time. And we'll make sure that someone prays with you and talks to you, that you can know that you are a child of God. Will you come this morning? Just a few moments. A few moments. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are in control, that you are the light of this world. Lord, may we keep in step with you. May we walk with you. Lord, when we feel that we don't have control, Lord, may we look to you as our guide. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, thank you that you have demonstrated your power over sin, over death. The grave could not hold you, and those who believe in you shall never die. Lord, I thank you for that eternal life that we have in you. And Lord, my prayer is for those who may not understand this right now, that they may not be yet in the faith, that you would work in their hearts, open their eyes up, let them see Jesus, Lord. Let them see who he is. And I pray, Lord, that they would put their faith in him even this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say, before Pastor Mike comes, if you have any questions or you would like to spend some time talking with one of us more, come and see me after church. Just let me know. Come and see me. I'd be glad to spend some time with you. Pastor Mike, please be seated. Thank you.
Thank you for the message this morning. We have just a few announcements to make before we are dismissed. If you'll notice on the inside of your bulletin, we have this special insert page. It gives us the schedule for this coming week, of course, today being Palm Sunday and the message that you just heard on Lazarus and Mary. And then on Thursday at 7 o'clock, we have the Lord's Supper service. So we'll have a special arrangement here in the auditorium. It'll be a special time for all believers to be a part of this. So please make your plan to come out Thursday, 7 o'clock. In saying that, we normally ask this, is that if you have life groups through the week and your life groups are perplexed of, well, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and then we have this, we really want you to try to come and support and be a part of the Lord's Supper. It's a special time. So even if that means that you need to cancel your life group for the week, that's okay with us. But we really want everyone to try to come out and be here for the Thursday special Lord's Supper. And then, of course, Sunday is Easter time, Easter worship service. Note the special time, 8:30 service only. There is no 11 o'clock service. There is no Sunday school time at 10 o'clock as we normally do. We're all going to be gathering here at 8:30 for the special worship service. And then immediately following the worship service, we'll have a breakfast that's provided. It's a continental breakfast, so more the easier kind to deal with. So that'll be Sunday the 27th, and that's at 8:30. And then we have the church family fellowship, which includes here at the church on Monday at 11 o'clock. It includes some games. We're going to have a shared lunch together. It says a shared picnic. One of the questions maybe that we need to just kind of qualify on this, on the shared picnic, maybe Miss Jennifer can answer the question here. On the shared picnic, are we bringing food in that we're all going to put together and share with one another, or does every family bring their own picnic and it's kind of for their family?
No, we'll just bring a plate to share.
Okay.
And we have people working in the kitchen, and they'll lay it all out.
Right. Okay, so you just bring your food in, we'll put it all together, and we'll all share with each other on the picnic on Monday. So games and activities, that'll be from 11 o'clock until 3 o'clock. So now on the announcements that we have on the inside pages of the bulletin, we're looking for helpers that can be here to arrange some of the furniture. This is on Thursday, especially when we are putting everything together. If you would like to be able to come and be a part of arranging these the furniture for the special Lord's the Lord's communion time, the Lord's Supper time, see Jennifer about that, and she'll give you, or Jean Travella, and they'll give you all of the details about what needs to be done, the timing, when to put it all together. And then also putting things back after it's all finished as well. So there's kind of two sides to that. Also, creche workers. We're always looking for creche workers. Ladies, if you are interested in being a part of working in the creche, that's during the worship services, especially during the 11 o'clock service, then see Jillian Randall about that. I don't think Jillian's here in this service. She's in the next service. But if you are interested in staying and working in the 11 o'clock service, either see Miss Jennifer, she can point you to the right scheduling on that. Also on Sunday school, we have a Sunday school at 10 o'clock from ages 5 to 12-year-olds, and that's also during the adult Sunday school time. We also have a creche for ages 4 and up. Are we asking for helpers on that, or are we just making an announcement that we have a Sunday school? Okay, so we're just letting people, we're not necessarily asking for helpers for Sunday school, are we? That's just so that you'll know that we do have the Sunday school time. And then also Friday, on Friday nights, fortnightly, there's a fortnightly Bible study. It's open for men. It's open for ladies. It's at 7 o'clock. The next one will be on the 8th of April. And if you would like to be a part of this Friday night Bible study, ladies, see Miss Jennifer, and men, if you would like to be a part of that, see Pastor Ken, and they'll give you all the details of where this is going to be taking place. Also, the Overcomer Support Group, we've been doing this now for about 6 weeks. That will continue on tonight at 5 o'clock, from 5 o'clock till about 7 o'clock. So if you're a part of the Overcomers Group, then please be here just around 5 o'clock. Or if you know someone that would like to be a part of that. Also, continue to pray for our missionaries. We've got our missionaries, Michael and Beatrice Kaburu. This is our missionaries in Kenya, Africa that we support. So continue to pray for them, as well as our other missionaries who we post their letters in the back. So be sure and read those letters as well. Well, I think that's all of the announcements that we need to make. But before we are dismissed, we'll take just a moment and recognize if anyone's having a special day, birthday, or an anniversary. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week, from today, Sunday through Saturday? Anyone with a birthday this week? Or if you were here, had a birthday last week and you were not here, and we'd like to recognize that as well. Anyone with a birthday this week? Anyone?
My mom and dad aren't here, per se.
Any birthdays? No, I see people whispering. All right, how about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary this week? Wedding anniversaries. Here comes Jazer. And Boots, come on up. Wedding anniversary. How many years has it been, Jazzer? That looked like a lot. That was a lot of years. 26 years. Congratulations to you. Anyone else with a wedding anniversary or birthday? Final call? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Anniversary, and then Pastor Ken will dismiss us in a time of prayer. Let's all sing together.
Happy Anniversary.
Be sure to be out on Thursday night. We're not only doing the Lord's Supper, but we're taking a look at the story from a different perspective, and that is through the eyes of a character in the story named Barabbas. The character Barabbas, he was the man that was freed while they crucified Jesus. So do come. It'll be a blessing to you, an encouragement, a challenge. Let's pray and be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us today. Lord, may we leave here remembering these things. May we not forget. May we allow the words to stay in our hearts, change our thinking, change how we live. Lord, may we realize that you are in control. We must walk in the light, walk with you. Thank you in Jesus' name. We say, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Stay for some fellowship and Bible study soon.